looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXD-TV, and Mohegan Sun. Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Big honor. I know this hasn't happened very often in a long time, so you know I appreciate it. I'm going to try to have some fun with it too, so that's why we're all here too. So we're grip and rip and try to get some wins.
That is Red Sox ace Chris Sale pitching the All-Star game tonight. Murray, you pumped up about that?
Oh yeah, can't wait.
I couldn't give a rat's ass. And I got to be 100% blunt with you. I could not give two craps if Chris Sale's pitching in the All-Star game tonight. I could not give a flying fish. Seriously. So, look, I told you before all this began. And by the way, welcome to the Baseball Reporter, 617-779-0985. We'll take your calls up until 7 o'clock on all things baseball. We got a lot to get to. It's been a few days since I've been in. Obviously, I was in on Friday. Red Sox wrapped up their first half with a good weekend against the Toronto Blue Jays. The winning streak went kaput, but the bottom line is they went 12-1 over their final 13 games of the first half. 68-30 now going into the All-Star break or in the All-Star break. Phenomenal first half for the Red Sox. Okay, so two things on my mind. Number one, Chris Sale. Before we went into the break, I said to you, I did not want Chris Sale pitching in the All-Star game. To me, this was a perfect opportunity for the Red Sox to say, oh, you know what? He's got back spasms. Oh, he split a nail on his finger. Or he has hemorrhoids. He's got an inflamed colon. I don't know what. They could have come up with any one of a million things. I wanted Chris Sale to have a two-week break in the middle of the season. He's not going to get that now, even if it's only an inning in the All-Star game tonight. These guys will tell you they get warmed up. They start feeling the adrenaline. All of a sudden, they're out there, and they have to work themselves up into a lather and a sweat, and there you go. It's not really a day off. So will it hurt Sale? I don't know, but I'd just as soon he take a full step backwards in the middle of the season, really catch his breath, and if his performance suffered for a couple of starts as a result of it while he got his rhythm back, fine. I don't need Chris Sale to beat opponents in July. It was never about July. And he's pitched three All-Star games in a row. Terrific. I'm happy for him. I suspect really he would rather be in Florida. I think that and enjoying the time off with his family. I'd be willing to bet it. Okay, and I want to get to more on Sale in a minute. But the other story is the Red Sox. Mookie Betts had that fabulous at-bat last week where he hit the grand slam. So that was in the Thursday night game, right? Then Rick Porcello pitched on Friday night. Got shellacked. That was the end of the winning streak of 10 games. The Red Sox bounce back and win the last two. Xander Bogaerts hits a grand slam.
On Saturday night.
Right. Yeah. And Betts, in fact, the game they lost had two triples in that game, right? Like, what a half of Mookie Betts had. Bogaerts hits the grand slam. They win that game. And then Bogaerts opens the next one with a home run. They win that game. They go 12-1 in the final 13 games of the first half. And the reason we draw the line at 13 games is because right before that, David Price went out against the Yankees in a series finale and got his brains beat in a game that could have decided just that series, as relatively big picture meaningless as it was. But the Red Sox had a chance to win a series in New York. Price is pitching the finale against the Yankees in Severino. National TV game on ESPN, all of that, and the Red Sox throw up on themselves. So really, if I were to look at the last 14 games of the regular of the first half, I almost said the regular season. If I look at the last 14 games of the first half and include the game where Price got his brains beat in against New York, what means more to you, Murray? What carries more meaning? The fact that the Red Sox lost that game to the Yankees and Price got his absolute face kicked in, or that after that they went 12-1 against bad competition, which resonates more?
Oh, it's without question that last game of that Yankee series, the Sunday night where David Price gets his face ripped off, as you said, to the tune of those five absolute bombs that were hit against him, and that he you know, imploded at the worst possible time and the biggest possible stage. That whole series as a whole, because Eduardo Rodriguez was terrible on the Friday night, too. Chris Sale bounced back, dominant on the Saturday. But that whole series has way more weight to me than what happens since.
If the Red Sox had gone over these 13 games, you know, and I don't want to say like 6-7 or, you know, 7-6, had they gone 8-5, but David Price had beaten New York, I'd feel better about them than I do now. And I'm not telling you I feel badly.
No, they're a good team. That's obvious. But I'm sorry, like, against the best competition, they've been just okay. And in that last series against the best competition, the Yankees, they were not good as overall.
So once you get past the Red Sox in the American League, the five teams with the best records, the next five teams are, in no particular order, Houston, New York, Seattle, Cleveland, Oakland. Those five teams, they're all basically 10 games above 500 or better. I think Oakland and Cleveland are 9 games above or right thereabouts, but they are significantly above 500. Those are the only other teams in the American League that are significantly above 500. And you know what the Red Sox are against those five clubs? 12-14. 12-14. David Price is going to have a greater bearing on where the Red Sox go in October than the 12-1 the Red Sox put up against the Blue Jays and whatever other bags of garbage they played during that stretch. Honestly, I don't even remember who they played before the Blue Jays. It was one bad team after the next. So do you remember who they played? Kansas City, maybe? Was Kansas City on that list? They played garbage teams. And so, again, you tell me, where do you put the emphasis as a fan? But to me, overall, great first half.
Yeah, Nationals, Kansas City, Texas, and then the Blue Jays.
Okay, but I cannot give them full credit. And when I say, you know, an A+, I have to give them an A or an A-, because against the Iron, they had a losing record. And Chris Sale, I have a couple of more thoughts on him, too. We'll get to him in just a minute. 617-779-0985. Obviously, we are broadcasting from our new studios here at Beasley Media in Dorchester. So we're still working out some of the kinks in terms of the call screen or what have you. So hopefully I will get everybody's name right, but we'll do the best we can until we get all the details ironed out. Joe is at BU. Joe, what do you got?
So I've never heard anyone mention this, but I don't trust Price. I don't think anyone trusts Price. And that $31 million is an albatross around our necks. So I just have a question. If we were to DFA Price, would the player option go away like Hanley's, or would he still have the option to vest? So I'm wondering if that's possible and if you would do that.
So, Joe, I'll tell you, you're not the first person to ask this question. Our producer Jimmy Stewart, our producer Jimmy Stewart brought this up a while back. By releasing Hanley, the Red Sox are no longer on the hook for that vesting option. But in that case, the option was the team option. In David Price's case, his option is a player option. If the Red Sox were to release Price now or at any point this season, they are still on the hook for the remaining 4 years of the contract. Okay, now Price's deal, that 7-year, $217 million deal, is relevant, and it might be more relevant now than it ever has been before, and I'll get to that in just a second. But I'll tell you what, let's bring in Scott, who's in Connecticut. Scott, go ahead.
Mads, what's going on, buddy?
What's on your mind?
I just have a couple, actually, questions for you. I'm looking for information. Do we actually know what Erod's injury is, number one? Do we have an update on Pomerantz? And do we know what's going on with Stephen Wright?
Okay, so look, I think you could have two of those three guys back relatively soon. Pomerantz could be back soon. Stephen Wright could be back soon. With regard to Eduardo Rodriguez, he's got ligament damage in his ankle. So, to me, Rodriguez is a concern. I mean, that's a big one. Now, do I think he's done for the year? Alex Cora came out and said he has significant ligament damage in there. To me, that looks like a high ankle sprain. So, and the injury is classic high ankle sprain. His ankle bent inward, which is always bad. And so he ripped up some of the ligaments in there, but he doesn't need surgery. So he's going to have to let it heal. It's going to take a while. I would say 6 to 8 weeks. I would expect him to try to pitch again in September. Do not be surprised if you don't see Eduardo Rodriguez until the month of September when rosters expand, okay, to 40 players. So you can put a guy in the DL, stash him there for a while, and you don't have to worry about activating him until way, you know, way down the road, because it's going to be a while before he pitches anyway. The other two guys should be back. I don't know how much they really affect or impact your staff. Wright was pitching well as a starter, so that's all good. You want as many arms as possible. But even if those guys pitch well, is either Drew Pomeranz or Stephen Wright really going to change your fortunes in the postseason? Because I don't think they are. Okay, 617-779-0985. When we come back, Nick Cafardo had a very interesting column today in the Globe relating to Chris Sale and whether or not the Red Sox might want to consider exploring a contract extension with him now. And this does relate to David Price. I'll explain when we come back.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
His intensity, the fire he brings, he really commands a baseball game when he's the starting pitcher. I was hoping I was going to be able to face him in the lineup, but being nationally and everything, but he can swing it pretty good too, so I don't know if that would have been a good idea.
It's Chris Sale facing Max Scherzer again in the All-Star game. Sale's third consecutive start in the All-Star game. So again, that's another one that you sort of look at and say, the guy has started three straight All-Star games. He has one career playoff start. And again, some of that's not his fault. He was with the White Sox for a long period of time. That team was terrible. Last year, they get into the playoffs and he faded. And he wasn't good in his one start. So like, there's almost a little negative there with Chris Sale being the starter in the All-Star game 3 years in a row. He's your classic first half pitcher in a lot of ways. And so I hope this year that what the Red Sox are doing with him will ultimately pay dividends. It's part of the reason I didn't want him pitching in this game at all. Come up with some sort of phantom injury, keep him out of it, give him a good 12 days between starts in the middle of the season, and then let's see where he is in September and October, because you're going to need him then. And after this year, Sale's got 1 year left. 1 year left, and then he's a free agent. So the reason I think this is important is because a year from now, Chris Sale will be the same age that David Price was when the Red Sox gave Price 7 years and $217 million. And this, to me, is an important fact. Nick Cafardo had a column in the Globe today wondering whether now is the time for the Red Sox to begin negotiations with Sale. So again, Murray, let me lay it out for you. Okay, because David Price had won a Cy Young Award. Does Price have one Cy Young or two? I think he has one, right? Like, I'll double check that myself too. But, you look at that and you say, David Price was an accomplished pitcher when he came to Boston. People like me wanted the Red Sox to sign him. And so...
only once, 2012.
And he finished second two other times. Okay, so he's got, three finishes in the top two. I mean, Price is an accomplished pitcher as much as everyone here hates him. The Red Sox gave Price 7 years, $217 million. So if it takes that same deal, Murray, if a year from now, that is, let's just say everything goes smoothly, okay? A year from now, to keep Sale, you have to give him the same contract. 7 years, $217 million, $31 million per. Would you do it?
I would, yeah.
You would do it?
I would.
I wouldn't. I'm not going to make that mistake again. And look, you could say, well, and Felger made this point today, and it's a good one. I sit there and say, the last time you gave a pitcher 7 years, $217 million, it blew up in your face. And he said, well, the last time you had a guy in market who came up for free agency and you didn't sign him was Lester. And that led to the Sale mistake. So the difference with Lester versus Sale to me, two things. One, Lester has proven he can pitch in October. And two, he's durable. He's made 32, 33 starts just about every year of his career.
Yeah, and I know Chris Sale is spindly, but it's not like he's broken down. I know he only has one postseason game to his record, and it's 0-1, and there's some concern there, but it has only been one game. The guy's he's got big stones, and you're going to need frontline pitching, and it's not like they have any prospect coming up, unless you really believe in Jay Groom being a guy.
No, I don't.
So I don't think they don't have anyone that they're going to be able to have as their, their ace, a number one starter. It's Chris Sale. I know, like, the age might be a little bit of concern and maybe the durability because of his body type, But what the hell is he going to do? I think you have to give him that kind of deal.
Okay, so if it were me, I wouldn't do it right now anyway. Okay, ask me again in a year. If Sale has a good October and he finishes strong and he proves to me that he can pitch well in the second half and pitch well in October.
Well, then it's a no-brainer. I get your argument, believe me. But, yeah, if he has some postseason success, then you absolutely 100% have to.
I mean, I'm reluctant to do it. There aren't many pitchers, really, that can hold up the way John Lester has. Of course, the Red Sox had one. And what did they do? They let him go for a guy that doesn't have nearly the package that Lester had. Unbelievable. So, again, what would you do if you're a Red Sox fan? And I want to get to some bigger picture All-Star game issues, too. We'll do that in a second. But Brian is – Brian's in his car, I think. Brian, what do you got?
Hey, Maz. I want to build on your discussion right now. Another big difference is Price came in here never pitching in a market like this. Sale has proven that he can pitch in a market like this. So, I mean, I think that's a huge pro for Sale as well.
Yep, absolutely. Huge point in his favor, Brian. No two ways about it.
And what I could actually call for is, did you see Chris Russo's, that crazy guy? Did you see his interview with Chris Sale?
I'm sorry, say that again, Brian.
You know Chris the Madman Russo, Mad Dog Russo?
Yeah.
Did you see the interview with Chris Sale yesterday?
No.
Well, during that interview, he brought up his salary this year and how he's making a lot less than his performance shows. And asked him if it made him mad, and a quote that Chris Sale said was, "I always looked at it as I would rather be underpaid than overpaid." Now, I want to know what you get out of that.
This is baseball! Okay, so Brian, to me, that's an easy one to answer. When you say I'd rather be underpaid than overpaid, you know what it means? It means you're pitching well, and everybody looks at you and says, "Well, this guy's fulfilling his end of the bargain." As opposed to, if I'm overpaid, this means he's not performing. So I get what he means by that. The right answer is I'd rather be properly paid. Chris Sale's worth a hell of a lot more than $13 million. We all know that. Fridge.
Buster Posey has gone deep.
Fridge is on line one. Fridge, what do you got?
Hey, Matt. Calling from Waltham. Really appreciate the work you're doing. I wanted to say something about, it goes back to Thursday's game. I was at the game Thursday when,
Mookie. Yeah,
no,
the Mookie.
It was.
Go ahead, go.
So, just about the All-Star game, I think you're splitting hairs here. I mean, Sale was given the honor of playing tonight, and we're being so, putting so much scrutiny on it. I mean, let's just enjoy the game, let him pitch, and then, they'll get back to business. I don't think, it deserves the scrutiny that we're giving this.
Okay, Fridge, quickly, just out of curiosity, how old are you? Just because, I'm curious as to who the All-Star game appeals to anymore.
I'm 35 years old.
Okay, so good.
I grew up watching baseball,
Okay, so look, I like baseball too, although I have to tell you, the All-Star game really does nothing for me. And I don't know, maybe it's because I covered it. And when I say I covered it, I covered a bunch of them. And I found it really to be a colossal waste of time. So the All-Star game to me is, and again, this at the time I was less of a fan than I am now. When I say that, I mean that you cover games all the way through the regular season and the All-Star game comes and you got to go cover that one too. You got to cover an exhibition game. It felt like a waste of time. That said, will I watch some of it tonight? Probably. Yes. But the American public doesn't watch it anymore. The All-Star game the last 2 years, the ratings have basically been one-fifth of what they were 40 years ago. Now, there are a lot of variables in there, and I don't expect you to, I don't expect the All-Star game to be what it used to be. But to me, there were some good uses for the All-Star game, and Major League Baseball isn't really executing any of them. I'd use the All-Star game as a laboratory. Put in the pitch clock. Let's see what it looks like. Let's let everybody in America watch and see what the pitch clock looks like in an exhibition game like the All-Star game with real players in it, as opposed to the Arizona Fall League that nobody sees, or minor league games that really nobody goes to, relatively speaking. Put it on a national TV game. Let's see it. Let's see what it looks like when you put a pinch runner or a runner on second base to start an inning like they do in softball. And they propose potentially doing an extra innings. Let's see what all that stuff looks like. Chris.
This is baseball!
Chris is on line three. Chris, what do you got?
Hey, Maz. Love you guys. Murray, I'm just like you. faded. These sports teams in Boston, they can drive you nuts, but we love them. Maz, I haven't watched an All-Star game in 10 years, but here's my thing. About a half hour ago, you're talking about the Sox and being 12-14 against the Iron of the American League. What are those other five teams? What are their records against the other five teams? Is anybody like 22-6? I highly doubt it.
Well, so Chris, look, I didn't go through and do everybody there, okay? But I'll tell you what, I'll try to do it on the fly here, because what I can tell you,
the Yankees were 20-8 going into that series with Cleveland, and did they end up splitting those four games?
I don't know if they split or not.
Let me look it up.
So, and I can get it for you relatively quickly. So, Murray, maybe jot this down and we'll rattle it off. The Yankees are 5-4 against the Red Sox, 5-2 against the Indians. So that's 10-6. They're 15-8 when you add in Houston. They are 17-9 when you add in Oakland. They are 20-9. 20-9 against those teams. The Yankees are 20-9. The Red Sox are 12-14. So again, you tell me which one means more to you. Would you rather have the Yankees record be 20-9 against the good teams? Or would you rather have the Red Sox record and be 12-14 against the good teams? And if your answer is, well, the Red Sox, because they're leading the division, and that'll get them out of the play-in game, fine. I'm saying if Boston plays New York head-to-head in the division series, who do you like? Which team do you think has a more likely chance of beating the other one? The one that won more games during the regular season, or the one that beat better competition? Because I'll take the second one.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
One home run to become the Home Run Derby champion in 18.
There it is!
Center field, and Bryce Harper has thrown his bat in the air and won the 2018 Home Run Derby, and he loves it.
You know, when you get right down to it, Bryce Harper is the one throwing this party. Washington Nationals are hosting the All-Star game, but Harper is the big name on the Nationals, won the Home Run Derby last night. And Bryce Harper, as we all know, is a free agent at the end of the year. Lots of reports out there. I mean, as recently as a couple of years ago, speculation that Harper would command a deal worth $400 million on the open market. $400 million. 10 years, $40 million a year, $400 million. I don't know if he'll get that. He's having an awful year. But Bryce Harper's contract does relate to everyone in baseball, because he and Manny Machado are both going to get a huge amount of money when they hit the market this offseason. What the final number is, impossible to know until we actually see it. But someone is paying attention. And his name is Mookie Betts. Okay, Mookie Betts, in a story today by Alex Spear of the Globe, asked about the deals that Harper and Machado ultimately will end up with this offseason. Quote, "I'm definitely really curious to see how that will play out," Betts said. "We'll see the way it breaks. We all know what kind of player he is," meaning Harper. "I think that may affect some things going forward. I think things are kind of coming full circle now. My peers are going through what is soon to come. Yeah, I'll definitely be locked in to see what they get." That's what Mookie Betts said. Murray, if you're a Red Sox fan, should that comment worry you?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, this is the most important guy that they're going to have to re-up here in the next coming years, and it's going to cost a mountain of money.
It should scare the crap out of you. So I'll tell you what, Jimmy Stewart and Jim Murray both, let me just ask you a quick question. Mookie Betts or Bryce Harper, who would you rather have?
Mookie Betts.
I'd rather have Bryce Harper.
Okay, now a different question. Who's the better player?
Mookie Betts.
Mookie Betts.
Okay. So, depending on how you... It's close. Okay, it's close. And I think, really, it's a matter of preference.
I mean, you'll probably get more asses in seats power from Bryce Harper. He's a bigger name.
Left-handed hitter in Fenway Park.
Okay, and so there's one variable. Mookie's faster. Harper is bigger, stronger. Harper's OPS career is .894. Mookie's .877. I mean, they're close. You know, Mookie's a better defensive player, I think.
Betts is a leadoff hitter. Harper is a 3-4 hitter.
I mean, Mookie feels like a headier player to me. Harper makes some stupid mistakes. Not quite as bad as Andrew Benintendi, but honestly, it really is a matter of preference. You're not going to go bad with either. You know, you're not going wrong with either one.
Right.
Now, if you're asking me, who would I take?
I don't know, Mike.
Yeah, honestly, I straddle on this one. If he had asked me this 4 months ago, I'd have said Bryce Harper. If Mookie's having the year he's kind of having right now, it's Mookie. But either way, that contract that Mookie gets, we said this earlier, if you wanted to sign Mookie Betts right now, you know what it would cost? Starting line. 10 years, $300 million. And if I'm Mookie, I'd probably say no.
I would. I would absolutely say no. That's not enough.
Think about that. That's the biggest contract in history. And he'd say no. I mean, on an average annual basis. Well, no, I shouldn't even say that. So the Stanton deal was actually worth more, I think. So I shouldn't, you know, one of the two or three biggest contracts in history. And he'd say no. I think Mookie is really, he's that kind of talent right now. Let me just squeeze in a couple of more calls. Eric's in Abington. Eric, what do you got?
Hello.
Eric, you there?
Yeah, Tony.
Eric, yes, what do you got?
Yeah, isn't Bryce Harper hitting like 200 this year?
He is. He's having a horrible year, yep.
I don't see how anyone would take Bryce Harper over Betts. I think Betts is at the better career, but anyway. So you guys don't think the Red Sox can do it in the postseason this year?
No. Well, I mean, I shouldn't say I don't. At the moment, I still have doubts. How about that, Eric? I look at it and I say, what is really going to tell me that this team is different than the Red Sox teams of the past? The last 2 years, they've won 93 games. They finished first both years. Then they get into the playoffs and play legitimate teams and get their asses kicked. And so I know the easy argument is to say, well, Cleveland got to Game 7 of the World Series and lost. And the Astros won the World Series. Okay, fine. So those were the two best teams in baseball. Isn't that what you were striving to be? Aren't you ultimately striving to be a World Series champion? So who do you want to beat? The teams that get eliminated in the first round? Is that what you're looking to do? Or are you looking to really win the whole thing and be there with the big boys? They weren't close. If they had lost in seven of those teams, you might have an argument. Corey is in Georgetown. Corey, what do you got?
Well, first off, I'd like to give mad props to Murray, man. Your angry Bostonian, sarcastic, dry wit cracks me up. Gasper's holding you back, 100%. You got to get away from Gasper. Get more on the week.
Corey, do you have that on speaker or something?
Yeah, you want it off?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to actually let you go because the whole speaker thing doesn't work. And, you have a hard enough time hearing people on the phone when you're driving in your car who call it into a show, and the speaker makes it worse. So I'm going to let you go. But look, we appreciate Murray, too, on the show. We love Murray. I'm just telling you, with Mookie Betts, and I'm coming around on Mookie Betts, he's getting better as a player. And you hear this all the time when guys are in their early 20s. Boy, he's got plenty of time to get better. And most of the time it's true. And then you know what happens? Most of those guys don't ever really get a lot better. They get a little better, but not a lot. Mookie is getting a lot better. Really, he's having a season for the ages. Murray, I tweeted this out over the weekend that I was talking to someone older about Mookie Betts.
Mm-hmm.
And this person said to me, you know, am I crazy or does he remind you a little of Willie Mays? I said, I never saw Willie Mays play. But Willie Mays was 5'10", 170 pounds. Betts is basically 5'9", 180, 185. I mean, they're both very athletic guys. You know, Mays was obviously a sensational outfielder. It felt like he had more power than Betts does. But it's not a horrible analogy. It is not a horrible analogy. And so I ask you, as a Red Sox fan, what would Willie Mays at age 25 get on the open market? If that's who you think he is, what would he get on the open market? And are the Red Sox going to give it to this guy? And meanwhile, Bogarts is up at the end of next year. Sale is up at the end of next year. Porcello's up at the end of next year. So factor it all in. I'd sign Betts first ahead of all of them. But you want to talk about a serious expense coming down the road? Mookie Betts is going to cost a fortune. Fortune. So again, just for kicks, 10 years and 300. Would you give it to him, Murray? You say yes, right?
Yeah, tonight.
Right now, I'd give it to him. And incredibly, I don't think Betts would take it. I don't think it's enough. I think you'd have to give him 10 and 350. And even then, I'd say yes. I would. I'd give him that amount of money. Trivia Tuesday's next.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. 98.5 The Sports Hub. The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Trivia Tuesday on The Baseball Reporter. This is where your baseball knowledge can lead to fabulous prizes. And now, here's your host, Tony Mazzarotti.
All right, listen up. Here you go. First five callers right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line. First five callers, 617-931-0985. You will have the chance to participate in Trivia Tuesday. It's one of Murray's favorite segments of the week. If you can answer three baseball questions correctly, you will score a $100 gift card for Seasons 52 Wine Bar and Grill, and you will be automatically entered for an overnight trip to see Boston play in New York in September, and I don't need to tell you those are going to be big games. You'll get round-trip train tickets for two, tickets for the game, and an overnight stay. It's a good get. Plus, if you win tonight, you get the Seasons 52 gift card for $100. And in the interim, you will be entered for the bigger drawing. It really is a good get. So 617-931-0985 is the number on the contest line. And hopefully the contest line is working properly, Jimmy. It is?
We just had that conversation. We're not sure. So it may be the main line callers. We'll let you know in your call box.
Okay, because it looks like people are calling the regular line. I'm starting to wonder maybe the contest line is not working properly. So in any case, what's the guy's name on line one, Jimmy?
Al?
Al? All right, Al, you're the leadoff guy. You ready to go?
Yep.
Okay, here you go.
Here you go.
Since it's All-Star Week, in 2015, the Red Sox finished in last place and had only one All-Star, this utility man who was named to the American League team. Who is he?
Brock Holt.
Brock Holt is correct. Good job. That was an easy one. That's what we like to do. We like to start with one easy and make sure we get you a little up to speed. Okay, second question. Hey, Al, how old are you?
59.
59?
59?
Yep. Okay. This one's a little bit tougher. Here you go.
Here you go.
In 1999, Red Sox pitcher Pedro Martinez pitched two innings in the All-Star game, and he struck out five of the six batters he faced.
Hey.
He faced Barry Larkin, Larry Walker, Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, Matt Williams, Jeff Bagwell. Who was the only guy who did not strike out?
Can I get the names again?
No. Names. You got to do it quickly. Barry Larkin, Larry Walker, Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, Matt Williams, Jeff Bagwell. Who did not strike out?
Matt Williams.
Matt Williams is correct. Correct. Good job. Two for two. All right, here you go.
I asked how old I am. Aren't I done?
No. Wise ass. Okay, last question. Which team originally signed David Ortiz as a teenager out of the Dominican Republic?
Seattle Mariners.
Seattle Mariners is right. Good job. How did you know that?
I know about Big Poppy.
Okay, good job.
David Arias. His name was David Arias at the time.
It was, and we're putting you on hold. I don't need you to flaunt your talent.
That might have been the most impressive caller yet.
That guy,
on Trivia Tuesday.
There it is. We're all done. Trivia Tuesday. It's over. One guy, one winner. That's all we needed this week was one caller.
If it could only always be that easy.
So the rest of you, pick up the phone quicker next time. Three for three. That guy was. I wasn't sure he'd get the Matt Williams question. That's a toughie. I mean, he had a 1-for-6 chance in that one, Murray. Right? So like 17%.
Yeah.
He had a chance. That's 17%.
No, but he was confident.
Would
he
you have known Seattle Mariners and David Ortiz?
I would not have. I thought it was the Minnesota Twins.
Matt McCarthy, would you have known that? He's nodding yes. Arcan, would you have known that? Nope. I'll ask you a little bonus question since you two are...
All right.
Okay. How did the Twins get David Ortiz? Who did they trade to Seattle to get him? Do you know that?
He's
a third baseman, switch hitter. Anybody know? You guys are idiots. Who's the guy on line one? Does he want to come on real fast?
How about Kent Herbeck?
No. Can I get a name on line one? You guys help me out with that one?
Was it Dave Hollins?
Dave Hollins is correct, Jimmy, for the trivia answer, but I was looking for the name of a caller by that point. Nonetheless.
Line one is Al, who we're getting his information.
Oh, that's Al.
That's Al the winner.
Oh, that's right.
Of course, that's Al the winner, the winner of the contest.
I should tell everyone that typically this
Lowball is... Lowball two.
This is a time of day where we normally do the matchup of the game, but the Red Sox aren't playing. So I still want to tell you that the Baseball Reporters is brought to you by Big Y. Big Y has all the bases covered to get you game ready this baseball season. Stop in tonight on your way home.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.